always fun to put points on the board. And, you know, we're out here playing a kid's game. Might as well have some fun with it. If I operated like I do on a football field, I would probably go crazy. You know, I'd probably be completely insane. You know, no one would be able to talk to me. And, you know, I probably wouldn't have a single friend in the world. You got to innovate, and that's exactly what Garrett did with his draft, and you failed to do that. You failed. You're a failure. You're a loser.
Welcome into the lounge, and this is a special day because our first ever guest, Justin Tucker, is coming back for a second take on in episode 82.
Yep, we've come full circle with the lounge. Justin helped us get this thing off the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first launched this thing, we said to ourselves, who's the guy, who's the guest that we need to get this thing off the ground? And Tucker was the guy that immediately came to mind. So he got this thing started. Here we are 82 episodes later. Never would have thought I'd made it to 10 episodes, but here we are 82 episodes later. And we're bringing him back and gonna have a fun conversation with him today.
I wish we had like saved it for like 100 or some kind of milestone. It's 82.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever.
Yeah, the 82th episode, annual episode. You know,
82th?
82th?
Is that
the 82th episode?
82th episode. Really, the truth of the matter is we try to get Alex Collins once again, and he is squirrely as hell. Can't get him.
Yeah, man. He's a tough guy to nail down.
Golly.
But as we're talking about Alex Collins, this is a good opportunity to roll this audio question. You know, as always, you guys can send us audio questions at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We got this question from Connor Swan. Here's the question from Connor.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say, you know, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I love what you guys are doing. Been a viewer since day one. So after a really strong performance by Alex Collins, do you see them really kind of giving Collins the keys to the offense, so to say?
All right, so you know, we've talked a lot about Alex Collins, even though Alex is, you know, difficult to get in the room, in the lounge. We both are really high on him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think basically what's going on with him is he's taking a little bit more of the workload every single week, and his production has not declined at all. You know, like when a guy's getting 5-6 carries a game, he looks good, you still kind of wonder, right, could he do this if he's getting 15-20 carries a game?
Right.
And the more the Ravens have put on his plate, the more he's produced.
Exactly.
I think that he's just going to get more and more and more.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the interesting question with Alex to me now is, what's his long-term future here? And obviously we have 8 more games to play out that's going to tell us a lot more about Alex Collins. But you start to think, did the Ravens like find a keeper here?
Yeah.
You know, like, is Alex Collins going to be the answer at running back next year for years to come? I mean, we're starting to, maybe that's a little, we're probably a little too early for that.
Yeah.
But that question has entered my mind at this point. So, I mean, he leads the NFL in yards per carry.
Yep.
That's no joke.
Yep.
I mean, that's legit.
And he's top 10 in overall rushing yards. You know, this is something that the Ravens had on their practice squad, who was out there on the street after getting cut by the Seahawks. I mean, he was out there for the taking. And if the Ravens end up finding somebody who, I mean, this guy could rush for 1,000 yards this year. That is absolutely in the cards. He's got 480-something right now. So he could end up being a 1,000-yard rusher without being the starting running back for most of the season. You know, that.
Well, not most of the season, but a good chunk of
the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot about him.
Yeah. What I really like about him is, A, I think within the Ravens running backs, he has the most pop, right?
Oh, for sure. You can see that.
Yeah. And what I like is, I mean, he's a guy who is going to rip off not every carry. He's not like a 5 yards every carry kind of guy, but he's a 15, 20 yards every 5 touches. I mean, he's just a guy who has that ability to rip one off, and he's going to get a big, big one here at some point. It's only a matter of time before he beats that last safety and he's off to the races.
When he scores, he's got to do the Irish jig, right?
If he doesn't do the Irish jig when he dances, when he celebrates, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, he's got to do the Irish jig. I got to believe that. So
the whole country's talking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll keep working on Alex. Maybe it's your turn
I'll give it a run.
I'm the problem here.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, the messenger's the problem.
So we'll continue to do that. But for now, we have a great fallback option here with Justin Tucker. Well, we're happy to have Justin Tucker on the pod with us today. And obviously the day after Halloween, I got to start by asking you, how was your Halloween? What did Easton dress up as? What'd you guys do? Where'd you go? All that stuff.
Yeah, so Halloween was awesome. Halloween is it's definitely one of my favorite holidays. You know, it's you get real nostalgic thinking about all the trick or treating and all the candy and all that good stuff. So Easton went trick or treating for the first time. Last year he was, you know, he was a little small. The, you know, I think he was
six months
at the time. So, you know, this time around he got to run around the neighborhood, and we went around with like a few teammates and their families. So all in all, there were like 20 some odd kids at the, probably more than that, at the house that we were at. And Easton went as a llama.
Nice. Whose idea was that? Was that your doing?
Well, so Amanda picked out two costumes for him. One of them was a bumblebee and one was a llama. And the bumblebee was pretty sweet. But he you know, like Ryan, I know you know this pretty well, but like, you know, the when they're at that size, they grow like weeds. So he grew out of his bumblebee pretty quickly. The llama fit him perfectly, and it was nice and cool outside, and the llama costume was pretty fuzzy and warm, so it worked out perfectly.
Did you dress up alongside him? Did you also go as a llama, or were you just in street clothes?
No, I had to join the party a little bit later. So
okay,
you know, I mean, I was here just grinding at the facilities after practice.
First guy in, last guy out.
Yeah.
I don't have time to celebrate anything. Yeah.
You know how it is. So I just made sure I got over there as soon as I possibly could.
Right.
So I was just in sweats.
When you're out trick or treating, do you, if you're with a group of teammates, it's different, I guess, but if you're going around, do you have a lot of people that stop to get pictures or autographs with you as you're just going around the neighborhood?
A little bit. So this is kind of our first time taking Easton around. Like, this is our first time, really. Yep. Amanda and I, we're not going trick-or-treating.
Every night.
Right. Yeah, we haven't. Amanda and I haven't really gone trick or treating since we've been in Baltimore,
because
we've been in our 20s.
Yeah,
Not that there's anything wrong with going trick or treating.
Nothing wrong with it.
You know,
as long as you dress up. I feel like if you dress up, you deserve candy, no matter what age you are.
I'm with you on that. Like, I think that's definitely one of the main criteria. Really, for me, it's the only criteria of if I'm a trick or treatee, I guess. If I'm maybe a candy passer outer.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
So I'm going to give you candy if you're dressed up in a costume.
Right.
Like, if you put some effort into it, like, you get candy.
Yeah.
That's my only criteria.
I hate when those like high school kids come around, pillowcase, no costume, expecting candy. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
you get rejected.
I have no problem telling them no as well. Just like try, like, go back, put on like a little cat or clown makeup or
something. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the most important
part. You know, my favorite was you would have a group of kids come through. There's like, say, four or five kids, and then there would be the adult that's like the chaperone of the group who's just walking around with a bag as well. And then he's just not in costume. And then he's like, all right, here, I need a piece. And I'm like, you're just the chaperone. And he's like, yeah, but it's one of the kids couldn't come out tonight. I'm like, you're lying. I know that just, you're eating that candy. There's no kid back at home.
If mom or dad or whoever is tagging along, chaperoning, right?
Yeah.
Like, they should not have a bag or like a basket,
right?
But they should get candy. So like, but
ooh,
it should be,
I like that.
It should be, you know, like a reasonably like small amount of candy throughout the course of the night. Where,
right,
you know, like, if I'm passing out candy, I'm happy to, you know, toss them a Snickers or
right,
whatever, and then, you know, they open it up right there and they eat it for, you know, for energy, for sustenance.
It powers you through the walk.
Yeah. You know, because like, it, you know, it's, you know, it's tough being a chaperone for a group of trick or treaters, because, you know, it can get dark out. You know, you got to keep your head on a swivel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've been watching Stranger Things, you never know what's running around out there. There could be demogorgons at any turn, so you have to really keep your eyes peeled for that kind of stuff.
When you're an NFL player making NFL player money, do you hand out the king size bars? Or are you still going fun size?
So for I'll tell you how we did it, since we were not at our house, able to pass out candy.
Yes.
We left massive bowl just full of candy.
Please take one.
And I made a sign that said, boo, happy Halloween, please take one. And I don't think we had but maybe one or two people stop our house. We have like a doorbell cam, so we could see if somebody actually came to our front door. And I think it was like, you know, maybe one or two people. Last year it was, you know, maybe like 50 some odd people, I think, came by. Like, I wasn't around. Amanda was doing the, you know, she was on candy duty, but I was really kind of shocked that we had such little traffic. But the neighborhood that we were trick-or-treating in was it was at a friend's house. It was busy. It was hopping. Nice. So it was definitely fun.
Nice.
All right, well, with that in mind, we want to get to the most important part of this podcast, and this is why we invited you on, Justin, because we felt you would be a fair and equitable judge here for our candy draft, our Halloween candy draft.
Okay? I'm all about this. Let's go. All right. Give me the rundown. What are the rules here? It's just between you two?
Just between us.
Okay. We pre-picked 10 candy options.
So each of you gets 5?
Each of us gets 5.
If my math is correct.
Yeah, you're math major in Texas. And so no snake draft, just back and forth.
Well, technically, if it is just like a back and forth, like I think it turns into a snake draft.
Yeah, but you would have...
Well, between two people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. We settle that by rock, paper, scissors, obviously. Quick rock, paper, scissors. Here we go.
Best of one?
Best of one.
All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Damn!
Oh!
All right, so GD with the rock. I just have to do the play-by-play here. GD with the rock, yep. Ryan Mink with the scissors. I don't know if I didn't see any paper there.
No paper.
Paper's
a sign of weakness.
Paper's kind of my go-to.
Really?
Or is it?
mind trick.
He's playing the mind games.
We're going to have to play him after this. All right, fine. So first pick for me. I'm going to take the Reese's Cup. Classic Halloween candy. You can't go wrong with it. I think everybody would agree this is at the top of the board. This is the Andrew Luck surefire first pick drafts.
That's a shot to the heart.
Yep.
That one really hurts me.
I approve of this as a first overall pick. I think anytime you mix chocolate and peanut butter and you keep it simple like that, it's a winning combination.
I'm a peanut butter guy to the core. Yeah. That really hurts. I'm going Kit Kat. Okay, I like a nice, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, I'll take it.
So I'm going to have to, for your first pick, I'm going to have to just go ahead and say that you've already won this draft.
Yes!
Because Kit Kats are my favorite Halloween candy.
Yeah, but that, I don't even have an opportunity to win this draft. I already got Reese's Cup, which is best pick overall.
Here's the thing, we put out a video yesterday in which Justin was already talking about his favorite candies with our broadcast.
So, but based on your next, I'm having not looked at this list.
All right.
Based on Garrett's next pick,
he could recover.
He could either recover or I might just completely stand corrected and he might win this draft in the first two picks. So let's just see what he's got.
All right, so I'm going to go here. I'm going to go Snickers. I'm going with Snickers.
Yeah, okay. Fourth pick. Or my second
like
pick.
Snickers,
fourth pick
whatever.
Overall, Twix.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, this draft is over.
It's over, baby!
Nah, Twix is probably like the most overrated candy,
you're an idiot.
I think.
You need to watch our videos. I do my research before these drafts. I already knew the judge loved Kit Kat and Twix.
Yeah.
He already said it.
Ryan Meek is definitely placating.
He's just playing to the judge.
But that's a solid pick.
Yeah, but how do you win a draft?
Yeah, but I
candy
to
draft. You have to do your research.
If I'm the sole judge, jury, executioner of the candy situation here, and Mink has picked my two favorite candies, and I'm gonna have to side with Mink.
Exactly.
We're only two picks in, but like, so
all right,
let me
go.
I'm overall trying to build the best board, and that's what's happening right now.
You made two nice picks. I won't lie.
I mean, all right. So like, I can also fully respect like where we might be going with this. Like, I think this is just my opinion. Having been here, clearly. Somebody's doing something right in the front office if I'm here.
Right. Obviously.
So you could have like a late pickup here, that might not even be on the board.
Right.
That could be
Who's
the undrafted candy that, so this is, I just wanted to float this out there. This is something that, could be a game changer. Like if there's one that's off the board that,
I think we should do that. After we're done, we'll pick one undrafted free agent.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was going to say is I think it goes without saying, like, these guys do an excellent job in the draft. They do an excellent job in those mid rounds too. grabbing those compensatory picks.
Yeah,
right.
You could get a
Brandon Williams right now in the third round.
Right, which is what I'm going
to
do.
Exactly, like those mm-hmm. Third to fifth rounds. Like mm-hmm. That's where a lot of magic can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
here we go.
I'm going to take Butterfinger. I'm going to take Butterfinger, third round.
I like that.
Okay. And by the way, we hit the Butterfinger. Halloween size Butterfinger, like the fun size, that's the perfect size for a
Butterfinger. You're right.
That
is true. When you get the ones that are like split in two inside, like the package,
it gets all weird. The perfect size for the Butterfinger.
Okay,
I'm with you on that.
I'm going with a classic. I'm going the M&M's, the peanut butter ones, or peanut.
Well,
wait,
we had classic.
I'm just adding.
I'm adding peanut.
No,
those are classic M&M's.
I see on the draft board on the sheet it says M&M's. Yeah. It doesn't say peanut M&M's. So, right, you're playing a little fast and loose right now.
Yeah, exactly. You took those, but that's a bad pick.
No, I'm taking those. That's a classic.
Okay. Yeah, M&M's are still pretty good though.
Yeah, they are. But have you guys ever, like, if you get the M&M's and it's not the peanut M&M's? Tell me you're not disappointed. You open up the bag, and you're eating,
but it's still solid.
You see, it's not the yellow bag. I'm gonna
disagree with you guys. There, I actually really like M&M's.
The classics.
I think just the milk chocolate M&M's are delicious.
I'm starting to really question your judgment here. All right, so I have three that are heavy on the chocolate. I need to mix it up here. You know, you need to get a variety here. You need to find something a little different. So I'm gonna go here with Skittles. I'm gonna go Skittles in the fourth round.
Okay.
Add a little color, add a little fruit here.
A little taste of the rainbow.
A little taste of the rainbow. Look at their slogan. Yeah, there it is.
I hate Skittles, so.
God, this is going to be a big L for you.
This is again, you got to know your judge.
I'm not on board
with Marshawn Lynch. Then you take the Skittles.
Well, I might have to ask Marshawn what he thinks.
That's my next
stop. I'm going to go Starburst here. I agree. I got to mix it up, get some different flavors in. Starburst.
If you had to pick a color of Starburst that was your favorite, which one would it be?
I'm going the red, the cherry, I guess it is.
Pink, all day.
Yeah,
I'm going red, pink.
You're a yellow guy.
Let me stop you right there. Okay. So even though Garrett didn't draft the Starburst, he picked a better flavor of the Starburst.
So he gets one half bonus point for that?
So like in my mind, I'm kind of keeping a very loose tally here. I think even though you made the draft pick, I think he won that.
Oh,
that
wow. That's a big one for me. I'm not even picking and I end up winning that round.
All right, what do you got?
Last pick, and I'm shocked that I was able to get this with the last pick because it's one of the best. It's a classic. It's the Milky Way.
Ew. I don't like
nougat. Caramel
nougat
chocolate.
Sucks.
Nougat's good.
Nougat's. What I mean, is nougat?
I don't
even know what nougat is.
It's just fluffy deliciousness. So it just. It's
a good way to put it. I don't know about that. Ugh, God, but I don't like Twizzlers either. Why do we even have Twizzlers on this
list? That was your
Twizzlers
pick.
Suck.
I get stuck with
Twizzlers, which is basically wax.
So just real quick to recap, I have Reese's Cup, amazing, Milky Way, Butterfinger, Snickers, and Skittles. That is the classic. That is a rundown of excellence right there.
Kit Kat, Twix, M&M's, Starburst, Twizzlers.
Okay.
Wait, are we doing our undrafted?
Yeah, no, I was about to say. All right, so you got to wild card it here. You got to you got to come up with just off the top of the head.
Okay. What are we taking that's not
undrafted candy? Ooh, ready, go.
I got one. This is.
This I think this might make or break the draft because right now I'm just letting you know in my mind it's
decided.
It's pretty in my mind it's pretty even. So this could be like,
actually I got a good one.
You know, your contributions from your undrafted candies could be the make or break of your season right now.
What I'm gonna go with here, this one is I'm not necessarily thinking Halloween candy. This is just open, or should I keep it to Halloween
Whatever.
Candy?
Whatever.
Well, candy's
it's
candy.
It's open.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm gonna go Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, you strayed from before we even went in here. That's a terrible pick.
Sour Patch Kids are good.
Oh, yeah, that is one that you don't think about.
That's not traditional like Halloween candy.
Exactly.
That's like movie candy.
That's why I asked the question.
I don't know if there is such a thing. By the way, I'm going to backtrack on this. I don't know if there's such a thing as Halloween candy versus like
candy. Normal. Yeah,
I don't even know where to go with this right now. Like, do we have to like compartmentalize candies into Halloween candy and then like
movie theater candy
and then like grandma drawer like Werther's, bowl candy
Werther's
like
Werther's.
Exactly. I'm not disappointed if somebody on Halloween when I was a kid, like if I went trick or treating, I'd be kind of pumped. Somebody toss a couple Werther's in there.
Ew!
Just to mix it up, you know. But like, you never know.
He's an all-inclusive kind of guy. You know, we don't want to divide America. We don't want to divide our candy. He's all-inclusive.
Yeah, but Mink, I also get the vibe from you that you'd also like hand out like toothbrushes and floss.
No, I'm not a raisins guy.
Yeah, raisins. No.
But based off of, all right, so let's hear your undrafted pick.
Okay. I'm going, this is a little out there too.
No way.
Crackle.
Oh my God.
Crackle is a great candy.
Okay, Garrett wins the draft.
No! What? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you started off strong in your first two rounds, but you just, your draft came to a
fantastic.
Your draft came to a screeching halt when you said Twizzlers and Crackle. I know you didn't have any choice.
I didn't have any choice on the Twizzlers. Yeah, Crackle but like, is fantastic.
You could, like, Sour Patch Kids saved your draft.
Yeah, but here, exactly. What? This is the undrafted kicker from Texas who comes out and ends up being, you know, best kicker in the league. That's what Sour Patch.
He understands that there's a history here. There's like you got the Bart Scotts, the Jimmy O. McClains, the Danelle Ellerbees, the Morgan Coxes. You got the Zach Orrs. You got the, you know,
you gotta make your
dare I say, the Justin Tuckers.
You strayed from yourself, though. He came in talking about how Baby Ruth is the best candy bar out there.
It might
be. You strayed from that with your undrafted pick.
I did, but you know what?
You had a lot of chocolate, and you needed to mix it up, and I appreciate that.
Oh, like, exactly. That's...
Yeah,
this is a travesty.
You can't just build a roster by, you know, just dancing with who brung you. You got to expand it. You got to find new ideas. You got to innovate, and that's exactly what Garrett did with his draft. Yeah. And you failed to do that. You failed.
You failed. Oh, this is great.
You're a failure. You're a loser.
Today's already a great day. I'm feeling good right now.
All right. Moving on from the Halloween draft.
You want to talk about it a little bit longer?
I kind of want to, but we should probably move on. All right, so Justin, I saw this great headline in your hometown newspaper, the Dallas Morning News. And the headline was, Justin Tucker is arguably the best kicker in the NFL, but unarguably has the sickest celebrations of any kicker. Your thoughts?
I mean, I'm inclined to agree 100%. That's pretty cool, Dallas Morning News. You know, I was really pumped this last week, Thursday night game, get an opportunity to just slap hands with a bunch of my teammates after making a couple kicks, which is it's always fun to put points on the board.
Yeah.
And you know, we're out here playing a kid's game, might as well have some fun with it. So Wednesday afternoon, just the day before the game, came up with a couple of handshakes with a couple guys. Me and Veen, we had ours for a minute. We were waiting for like a great opportunity to bust out. Me and Tony, we've had ours for a minute. We busted ours out in Minnesota after one of our field goals earlier in the game. So
the 50-some yarder.
I'm sure, you know, maybe that one. I can't remember, but you know, we're always trying to expand the celebration playbook, and we want to have reasons to celebrate. And I think, you know, I said it to you guys after the game, like, you know, 55, 57 yard field goals are great and everything, but I think we love kicking PATs. So if we keep doing that, man, you know, we'll really be on to something.
You probably have more guys now that are looking to get in on the handshake celebration game, because now it's kind of like picking up steam. That video kind of went everywhere last week. I feel like you got to have more guys coming to you saying like, let's get something on the books.
And you're at a dozen.
So I think like give or take. So, you know, I think we'll see more and more. Again, you know, I think the more you can incorporate, like the more the merrier. And like, you know, if you got more guys involved, I think it makes it a whole lot more fun with the celebrations.
It's got to be kind of hard to keep track of them, though, I think.
I always thought that way with the NBA guys, because the NBA, like when they go through introductions, they got different ones for every single guy. It's like, how do you keep up with these?
At first, I thought it was a little excessive. And I still think that because I have trouble remembering, like, you know, two of them. Let alone, you know, right. 10 or 12. So, I'm with you on that. It's definitely a tough to remember, you know, step by step each one. But, you know, that's why we have practice. You know, well, that's not really why we have practice. But, you know, when you got a minute to spare here or there, you got to work on something. So.
Right.
Always trying to improve.
I like it. So you've hit three 50-yard field goals, one in each of the last three games. Do you feel like the leg's getting warmed up for a 60-yarder here pretty soon?
You know, I think more than anything, I'm going to give you guys just the
diplomatic response. We're going to cliche, man.
Yeah.
You just worry about the next one? And all the kicks are the same?
Yeah. Yeah. I took the words right out of my mouth. Next question. For real, though, I mean, you know, for real, it's... it's one of those things that as soon as I talk about it, you know, it becomes a thing, and I'd rather just go out and make kicks, you know, wherever they're from. So, I mean, I'm pretty hot right now about hitting a bad ball in the Thursday night game. I hadn't hit a poor kick in a while, and I happened to miss a layup from 46. So, you know, I hate doing that, but at the same time, we were able to get out there, knock down a couple more PATs, you know, make some kicks, and like Garrett said, it is about the next one. The next kick is the most important. And, you know, at the end of the day, making kicks from where they send me out there to make them from is, you know, it's the most important.
I love that you categorize a 46-yard field goal as a layup.
Yeah, I was being a little facetious, but but hey, man, like at the end of the day, like that's a kick that I expect to make. I think we all expect me to make, and you know, just it stings a little when you don't, you know, come through. But fortunately, it was in a 40-0 shutout in primetime game. I mean, you know, it's one of those games that can catalyze an entire, you know, catalyze the entire team to go on and do, you know, some pretty big things.
You don't really like to talk about like your success much at all, I've noticed over the years. Is that because you're superstitious, or
I'm
or
not what? Superstitious, maybe a little stitious.
I saw that one come. Well done.
But yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, celebrating after making kicks and just having fun, you know, it kind of brings enough attention. And I'm not like a, you know, I really am not like just like a total me guy, you know. Sometimes it comes across that way, and I totally get that. But more than anything, I just enjoy I just enjoy playing football, and I enjoy having success with my teammates. And I know that I wouldn't have any individual success if it wasn't for Morgan Cox, Sam Cook, guys blocking for us, our offense moving us down the field, putting us in field goal range. You know, I wouldn't have a reason to be out there if it wasn't for, you know, everybody else doing their job. So, you know, I know that. I think my teammates know that. And, you know, it's one of those things where I don't want to necessarily rest on my laurels. You know, I feel like I'm still just getting started. And, you know, I look at some of the other guys around the league who have been doing it, you know, at such a high level for so long, and I feel like all of them would have the same attitude, the same approach of taking it one kick at a time, enjoying, you know, the moment for what it's worth. And then when you hang up the cleats, when it's all said and done, you can look back and say, you know, say to yourself, like, man, I really had like I had a hell of a career. I had a lot of fun doing it too. So, you know, I'll just wait until hopefully, you know, a decade or so from now to, you know, myself.
Well, I mean, this is like way down the road, but do you want to be a guy that plays like into your 40s, like the Phil Dawson kind of guy that plays deep into that, you know, that age? Is that what you'd love to do?
I think it would be really cool, but, you know, again, just taking it one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm putting the cart before a horse a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
I'm just curious on that. You know, it's kind of cool. You and Dan Bailey are in this, I don't want to call it a battle, but you guys have gone back and forth in terms of the most accurate kicker and that percentage. And who's of all time?
Bailey's ahead right now.
Okay. So is that something that you're constantly aware of? Do you pay attention to that? And like, what would that mean to you to go down in history as with that title? It's kind of interesting, both of you guys are playing right now. You know, it's something that changes potentially on a weekly basis.
Yeah, like as far as paying attention to that sort of stuff, I kind of let you guys do that. And
we like to remind you.
Yeah. I don't think about it. Like I have an idea, but I talking about other guys who are doing an excellent job, it would be, you know, like the Dan Baileys, the Stephen Gostkowskis, Steven Hauschka's kicking the ball really well. And those are just a few guys. I could probably name like 10 guys who are just kicking great right now. I do want to do, you know, the competitive spirit in me just compared to the other guys. Like I want to do better. You know, I want to do better than everybody else. But more importantly, you know, I'll go back to what I was just saying. I want to make kicks and I want to help my team win. So if that means attempting 20 kicks in a season, that means attempting 20 kicks in a season. If that means attempting 40, then, you know, it means I just gotta make more. Like I gotta pull a little bit more weight. But you know, it's exciting to be out there. Like I love the opportunities that I get, and you know, I relish them. And being able to win games, I think, is, you know, the most, that's the most satisfying. Being able to put points on the board and contribute to wins in a concrete way like that, that's what, you know, I pay attention to. Not necessarily the statistics of other guys out there. Mm-hmm. While, yes, I do want to do better on them, more importantly, I want to do my best for my teammates.
Yeah. I think one thing that kind of shows that is, you know, here you are, you have a chance to possibly be the most accurate kicker of all time or whatever, but if there's a 65 or a 68 yard attempt or whatever, 65 yard attempt at the end of a half, right? You're like, I want that kick, even though I know that's a low percentage kick that's going to affect my stats, that's going to drive down my accuracy. You still want that kick just because you have a chance to give your team points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about it like that's a low percentage kick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think,
but that's just the facts.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lower percentage kick.
Yeah, it's a lower percentage kick for anybody, and you know, myself included. But you know, when you get into it's hard to explain. When you get into a game, when you're locked in, when you're, you know, going through when I'm going through my routine, all I'm thinking about is hitting a really good ball. And you know, when we get into like end of half, end of game situation, that's all I'm thinking about is hitting the good ball and making the kick. I'm not thinking about my stats. I don't care about my stats. I care about making the kick.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed because I'm down there on the field at the end of the game and you are in your routine. Like it strikes me, you and Morgan and Sam, like you guys are, I'm kind of in that same area by the kicking net over there. And you guys are so laser focused over there. Like, get out of my way. I'm not, it's interesting. Like it, when people talk about, when you talk about players kind of flipping a switch when they get on the field, you think of like the linebacker that all of a sudden is just trying to take someone's head off. But I can see that even in you, like just the way that you conduct yourself in that environment is totally different than how you do here. It's just kind of interesting to see.
Oh, for sure. Well, if I operated like I do on a football field during an offensive drive or otherwise, like I would probably go crazy.
Yeah.
Like I'd probably be completely insane. You know, no one would be able to talk to me. I probably wouldn't have a single friend in the world. But I guess, yeah, to your point of being able to flip a switch, it's important. It's important to, you know, take each moment for what it's worth, compartmentalize being on the field, even just within a game. Like, I'm not going to be completely 100% just focus on kicking the ball while the defense is out on the field, because that's my time to like let my mind kind of just be free for a moment. Mm. And then, you know, when offense is on the field, then, you know, I just lock back in. If I stayed like that engaged, I should say, I wouldn't say focus, you know, you're pretty much focused the entire game. But if I stayed that engaged, like to that level, at a certain point, like it would just, you know, it can just kind of fall apart. You know, you let yourself get too stressed out. So, like the ebbs and flows of a football game are many, and being able to not worry about what's happening outside of my 1.3 second operation with Morgan, Sam, and the rest of the field goal unit, you know, it's very important. Being able to just lock in for those 1.3 seconds and then forget about everything else.
Right.
You know, leading up to that, there's, you know, it's like waves. You know, the engagement, the focus is in waves. Like, it'll be, okay, well, we've crossed the 50. That's kind of my time now. Like, you know, before that, I'm, you know, just getting loose, but then really starting to kind of hone in when we're getting into field goal range, wherever that is that day.
And how do you do that mentally? What's your mental honing in process?
Going through my routine, you know, physically, like after first down, I'll kick a ball into the net. After second down, I'll kick a ball into the net. And then while third down is being run, I'm somewhere near the line of scrimmage, ready to go, you know, wherever the play ends up, whether it's, you know, fourth and one and, you know, a decision is going to be, you know, made one way or another, or we're, you know, at the edge of field goal range, wherever that may be that day, I just got to be ready. So, you know, there's a physical component of just kicking the ball into the net and then being present on third down. And then there's the mental component of taking a deep breath, clearing my mind. And then, you know, truly there's a spiritual component where I just, you know, pray and say thanks for the opportunity. If I get this opportunity, you know, thanks. And
really, you know, do that before every kick?
Yeah, and if I do get this opportunity, you know, I hope I do well. You know, I don't think it's fair to ask for results. I think it's fair to just, you know, offer thanks for, you know, being there in that moment, because kicking footballs in the NFL is pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, that's neat. I know you guys set like a target point before the game. Like, this is our distance before the game. You probably do the same thing at halftime, I would assume, when you come out before the team does. But is there at any point where it's like 1 yard, 2 yards beyond that, where you're like, Jerry, come on, baby, let me in here, you know, like Randy, you know, like.
What was that game this year?
I think it was a preseason game where you like ran on pretty much, right?
Yeah, you were trying to talk Jerry into letting you kick one, and it was on TV, I forget. Maybe it was a preseason. Maybe it was
I think that was a preseason game in Miami. And
yeah.
Preseason is, you know, it's its own different beast, because that's, you know, you're trying to, I'm thinking like, you know, I really would like to test myself here.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like,
right,
you
right.
know, while also, you know, having full respect for the decision-making process, because at a certain, you know, at a certain point, like once we get into the game, the decision isn't really ever up to me. It's up to everybody else around me. And
right.
Cause you're always going to say yes. They're going to say, can you hit this? And you're going to say, of course
pretty,
I can hit it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. I mean,
you know, so, I think more than anything, just being available, you know, making it, I guess, known that I'm ready to go.
Right.
That I think it's a sign of confidence, and
right.
you know, makes the decision making process maybe just a little quicker, so we can get out there and we don't have to worry about beating the play clock.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Right. You're like standing right next to Jerry, basically. Hey, Jerry. Hi, Jerry. I'm right here.
But to your point, or to your question, Ryan, you know, lobbying to go out there and attempt a kick at the end of a half or end of a game, I would think we're just gonna do it. You know,
yeah, right.
End of a half though, there's different things to consider. You gotta consider that there could be a possible return.
Right.
And you're covering. Basically, it's like covering a punt with a bunch of offensive linemen, which is right. just a tall task.
Well, you're forbid from tackling now, so.
No, forget that. If I got to make the play, I'm going to try to make the play. But
yeah, there's a lot of factors in play there. Yeah,
But yeah, like as far as, you know, lobbying to, you know, get on the field, you know, and then of course, yeah, it ends up on TV and turns into a GIF pretty quick.
Right.
So, and it is GIF. It's not GIF.
I know it is GIF.
We're all on the same page.
It's graphical interface.
Yeah. So like you would. Yeah. Like, so but the creator of it.
Right.
You know, has
I
said,
think that's a fair argument.
Yeah, it's pronounced GIF.
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress. Yeah. Like, just want to make it, you know, known that we're available. We're ready to kick it. If you guys want us to run out there, we're going to do our best to knock it down.
Nice. Well, cool, Justin. We appreciate you coming by today. Most importantly, I appreciate you, you know, naming me the winner, clear winner of the draft. Sour Patch Kids put it over the top.
100%.
Nice.
Congratulations on the win, Garrett. And thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, so thank you to Justin. You know, he's a terrible candy judge, first of all.
No, that's maybe his best quality. He's a great kicker, better candy judge.
No, see, I think what it was he just had to kind of, he declared me the winner early on, right? And then he just wanted to give this wild finish. You know, he wanted to like, ooh, a shocking twist, you know, at the end of the movie.
I think
what it was all about.
I think what it was.
He clearly knew I was the winner.
Basically, he knew, like, you took, what does this say about your drafting ability and strategy that you picked his favorite two candies off the top and you still found a way to lose?
It says
you
exactly what
found
I just
a way
said.
To lose.
He knew I was a clear winner, but he had to throw in a twist.
And I think that the other thing that this shows, you're a guy that drafts for need. And I just built the best board. You force fed those options in there because you thought that would win you the draft by appealing to the judge. That's what you thought was going to happen. And
maybe,
it obviously didn't work.
Maybe.
I built the best board and built the best roster, and that's what wins games down the road.
No, see, I legitimately would have taken Kit Kat before Snickers. That's a tough call, but I would have legitimately taken that. And then you took Snickers with the third pick, which I agree is better than Twix. I got Twix in my fourth. So I really, I think, stayed true to myself while also doing the research and appealing to the judge.
Yeah. You know, so we always like to kind of crowdsource these drafts. We want to hear what the people have to say about this. So obviously I won this, so you can go ahead and let both of us know that by emailing us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And like Justin, you can go ahead and declare me the winner.
All right, well, nice try. Nice appeal to the crowd there. Anyway, we'll be back with you next week, and hopefully it'll be with Alex Collins. We'll see.
And hopefully it'll be after a big Ravens win against the Tennessee Titans. Have a great week, everyone.